Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to talk about the readings from this past Sunday. They were just so rich, really, as always, but they're important at this moment in the season of Advent. The church gives a set of readings that are very consistent in communicating some fundamental things that if we internalize, if we take into our hearts, they will radically change us in a way that we often pray for and we hope could happen to us. We could live the kind of life of joy and freedom and confidence in God with tremendous courage and the kind of thing that's really needed right now in our society facing the challenges that we're seeing around us. Before I do, I just want to mention again at the end of the show, I'm offering Ralph Martin's wonderful booklet, What Happens When I Die? A really good question. We're all going to die. We're all going to die soon. Scripture says life is short. It's a passing shadow. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. And one thing for sure, each of us has a meeting in our future, and that meeting is with Jesus face to face, and our whole life will be open before him. And what is that going to be like when we die? What can we expect? How can we prepare to meet the Lord? It's a very, very helpful booklet. I also want to remind you about our website at renewalministries.net. All our radio programs are archived there. This show and Sister Anne's wonderful show, Food for the Journey, is there, as are our television programs from The Choices We Face. We've had a wonderful lineup this year of guests, and you can go to the website. You'll see we have the entire year there. You can see and then watch them whenever it's convenient for you. Take some time to browse while you're there as well. There's other booklets that you can download for free that are also encouraging and instructive. Well, yesterday I left off with Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7, which was the second reading given to us at Mass on Sunday. And it was Paul's wonderful but challenging exhortation. Very simple. It went like this: brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. Why? Because the Lord is near, Paul said. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul is speaking from experience, a reality that he himself is living, and we'll hear later in this very chapter, where Paul says he knows how to live now in any circumstance, whether to be abased or whether to abound, through difficult trials, through lots of victories. It doesn't matter, Paul said. The circumstance no longer really matters. He knows now how to live through each and every one of them. He knows the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. He said, I know that I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Paul knows it and rejoices in it. He knows it because he knows the truth that the Lord is near. And so the one who passed from death to life, the one who's at the right hand of the Father through all things in heaven and on earth, right, exist for him. He has all power and authority, and our future is secure in the person of Jesus. Paul really believes it. And that faith, that trust, that hope that's birthed in him, now each and every one of us who've been baptized have been given the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. And the Lord wants to give us the grace to let those virtues flourish in us. Those three in particular become the foundation of our entire life and our whole orientation to life. This season of Advent is an anticipation of the Lord's coming. We celebrate his first coming, and we anticipate his second coming. So we gaze backward, forward, and we live in the present, and both the past and the future inform us in the present. And what it tells us is the most important things a human being could possibly know about life. What's revealed in Jesus is everything we need to know for our salvation. And in Jesus, we find out truly who we are and whose we are. Who do we belong to? That we belong to God. So Paul is saying the Lord is near. He's with us. And then he says this, what seems outrageously an outrageous expectation: have no anxiety at all. Wow, our country, human life, is just filled with anxiety day and night, right? It seems impossible to live without anxiety. And Paul says, here, let me show you how. You trust in the fact that the Lord is near, that he saved you, that you're in his hands, that you belong to him, that Jesus himself, who's conquered everything that stands against us, is now at the right hand of the Father, the faithful Son, and everything that belongs to Jesus, including and especially his relationship with the Father, the absolute, constant, unstoppable, eternal, infinite love and mercy of God the Father that Jesus knows and experiences, and the promise of eternal joy and happiness. Jesus possesses this now in his flesh, in human flesh. He gives it to us. This is what hope is about. Hope is the confident expectation that who Jesus is and what he possesses and what he's promised to us is going to happen. I'm confident. Why? Because Jesus is trustworthy and he has all the power and all the love to deliver on exactly what he promises to me. And so I can take that as a truth, as reality itself, and build my entire life on that fact. That's what Paul is talking about. That's why it's possible to not have any anxiety. Because the anxiety-producing things on earth here are simply temporary. They're going to pass, and they're not going to win the day. And we can endure and pass through them. And in fact, we can gain great graces in passing through those. So nothing is a waste, and we don't have to fear anything. And often, anxiety is rooted in fear. And the fear is the foundation. Instead of being faith, hope, and love, faith is, by God's grace, I've come to know God. I know the truth of God's revelation in Jesus. I accept that truth and all the promises that Jesus has given to us, and I entrust my life to it. I believe it, and I trust it, right? And that's going to be the reality. That's what Jesus means by live in me. So I'm going to live in these realities. I'm going to choose to do it. And with that awareness and understanding of reality that comes to me through faith, then hope comes alive in my heart. Hope is the security of my future in Christ. So when I see the reality of Jesus having defeated everything that could in some way really cause us great anxiety, I can now live in the third virtue, which is the most important of all, theological virtue of love. I can be free now of fear and anxiety and self-concern and ego and all the drives that are present when the human heart is under the dominion and the reign of sin and death. I'm free of that. Now, it won't be a reality if I'm not claiming it. That is, if you're not really internalizing it and fighting for it every day, because you know the devil's going to try to steal it from you. He's going to try to accuse you. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He wants you living in discouragement and despair. But you have authority over him, and don't ever think he has more power than Christ's power at work in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But the conniving of the work of the devil, your fallen flesh, my fallen flesh, and the power of the world, the lies of the world, this unholy trinity connives against our living in the truth and the light of Christ. That's the only place, that's the way in which this promise of God and the reality of living without anxiety in our lives, where it gets stolen from. That's the reason. That's what happens ultimately. And our physical ailments and weaknesses, things like that, can all contribute to that. But Paul says, now think about this. What you need to do is pray, offer God your petitions, trust that he hears you, and trust those petitions to him, and then begin to give thanks. Give thanks. Thank God for everything he's done for you. Just throughout your day, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for breath. Thank you for life. Thank you that you think it's important for me to exist. Thank you that you made me. Thank you for my wife, my children, my family. Thank you for saving my parents who passed on and they're with you. Thank you for the friends you've given me. Thank you that I have a job, that I have food in front of me. Thank you that I have the possibility of serving others. Thank you for the gift of your love, most above all things. So we then step into that reality through giving thanks and rejoicing, like Paul says. And he said, if you do that and you develop the habit of living that way, you will find out something, that God's peace will begin to rest upon you. It'll guard your heart from anxiety and fear. It'll guard your mind from the frantic, you know, fears and constant worries and the rest that gets produced. It'll bring you to a place of peace, and you'll be able to subdue those drives and those powers. So take these words to heart. That's why I wanted to repeat them again today, because I think our country is a very anxiety-producing place these days. Our politics, the troubles in the church, there's a lot to be anxious about. But Paul's not exhorting us and saying, hey, when you're living through a situation where there's nothing to produce anxiety in you, rejoice. He's saying, no, right in the middle of the anxiety-producing reality, stand up and fight. Stand up and lay hold of the truth that's yours in Christ Jesus. Now, the Alleluia response at Mass on Sunday was also related to this one. Remember, Paul said that the Lord is near? Here's the response. It's taken from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. So, where does that come from? It comes from Isaiah the prophet, but Jesus said those very words about himself. Remember, he was baptized in the Jordan, and there was a theophany, the voice of the Father, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, the whole Trinity was present there and made visible in some way, right, to people, to hearing or seeing. Jesus walks from the River Jordan, and he begins his ministry. He goes right to the desert and takes on the liar, Satan, our enemy, and he defeats him in the desert temporarily, but the major defeat comes on the cross, right? And then the final, absolute, last nail in the coffin is going to come when Jesus returns, and the devil, the final judgment and the authority of the king comes upon him. And by the way, he's the Lord's enemy, but he has no power over the Lord, zero. He's a creature. Jesus is the God-man. All power belongs to him. So it's not like two equals trying to fight and we're trying to figure out who's going to win this thing. This battle has been won by, this war has been won by Jesus, and we've got some battles and skirmishes still to fight in God's plan here on earth. But Jesus then went to read this passage right after he came out of the desert when he went to Nazareth, and he was speaking in the temple. And the temple reading that day, he got up to read the Isaiah scroll, and this was the reading, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's anointed me. And Jesus then looked at them all and said, today this promise, this truth is fulfilled in your hearing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon human flesh in the person of Jesus. Heaven and earth are united in a person, in Mary's son, Jesus of Nazareth. He's the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that's filled with God's Spirit, God's life-giving Spirit, God's overcoming Spirit, the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the anointing. And guess what? St. John Paul II reminded us, as every good bishop and priest will remind us, baptism and confirmation. Because of it, we can stand up, look in the mirror, and say the exact same thing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why does Paul have courage? Why did the psalmist have courage? I read on Monday. He had courage because God was near. And how is God near? God has made his home in us. We're temples of the living God. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And as we begin the church year, the church in her wisdom wants us to lay hold of this, to remember it, and to live it. Talk about it more tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.